Christmas and peace to you from
God
God.
our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Today is the third Sunday.
We have Advent, the Sunday that specifically focuses on God's gift of joy. And the epistle reading for this Sunday is Philippians 4, which probably has the most famous verse in the Bible about joy, Philippians 4:4.
Rejoice in the Lord.
Always, I will say it again, rejoice. It's a powerful verse, but what is it exactly? Is it a command from the Lord that if we're not rejoicing, we're sinning against him? I don't think so. I think it's an invitation. God wants our lives to be filled with joy, the joy that comes from him. I believe joy is what every human being on earth is looking for. And the ultimate source of joy is not found in things or in our circumstances. Our ultimate source of joy is God himself. He himself is filled with joy and delights in sharing his joy with us. So I want to share with you three truths about joy from God's word. But before we do that, first we need to talk about sadness, because sadness is not evil and it is not sinful. No, in this world, sadness is normal. And that's point number one.
Sadness is normal.
Sadness, like fear, is a normal emotion that all of us feel. And in this world, it is a necessary emotion. God does not condemn sadness. In fact, just the opposite. He promises to help those who are sad and hurting emotionally. Psalm 34, verse 18 says, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit." God promises to be close to the brokenhearted and to help and save those who are hurting. He doesn't condemn us for being sad. He reminds us of his closeness and that he's there for us whenever we are hurting. And he encourages Christians to be sympathetic and understanding to those who are going through times of grief and sadness. Romans 12:15 says, "Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep." Now, Jesus, of course, is God in the flesh, and he is the most joy-filled person in history. In Luke 10:21, Luke describes Jesus as full of joy in the Holy Spirit. And he says in John chapter 15, and he wants his joy to be in us so that our joy may be full. But at the same time, he's described by the prophet Isaiah as a man of sorrows, familiar with suffering. And let's not forget that our Lord Jesus himself felt incredible grief and sadness at the time of the death of his friend Lazarus. The shortest verse in the Bible, also one of the most powerful, John 11:35, Jesus wept. So tears are not evil, tears are not bad. Sadness is completely normal. Every human will experience sadness, even at this time of year, Christmas and Advent, or maybe especially at this time of year. There are many things to be sad about in this world that has been poisoned by sin. Because of sin, everyone suffers. Because of sin, everyone experiences pain. Because of sin, everyone experiences death and grief. And those are all
good reasons to be sad. In this world, sadness is
normal, but
it's not part of
God's original plan. God didn't create us to be sad. Sadness comes from pain, suffering, and death, and those things are a result of sin. And that was not part of God's original creation. God created a perfect world with no pain, no suffering, and no death, and therefore no sadness. Sadness is normal, but it's not what we are created for. We are created for joy, and that's point number two.
We are created for
joy, not just for a short time, but for forever. And the reason Jesus the Messiah came was to bring back the joy to our lives.
John 15, verse
11, Jesus says, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." Jesus
wants to have a life
full of joy, an eternal life full of joy. And that's literally what he's saying there. The reason he's born on earth at Christmas time, the reason he lives that perfect life, the reason he dies for our sins on the cross, the reason he rises again from the dead is to bring back the joy to our lives. He does this by taking away our sins and defeating death so one day we can live a life of everlasting joy in heaven with him. We will not have perfect joy until we get to heaven, when God has completely taken away pain, suffering, and death from our experience. But we can start experiencing the joy of the Lord while here on earth. And I think that's what Paul's inviting us to do in Philippians 4:4. to start rejoicing in the Lord now, because it's what we are created for. And help us, he gives us the Holy Spirit at our baptism. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of joy, and he wants to increase the amount of joy, real joy, we experience in our life. Because the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So let me share with you two ways to we can
increase the joy in
our life. Two ways we can rejoice in the Lord, even on the tough days. First, we can rejoice in God's gifts. Rejoice in God's gifts. Point number three. 1 Timothy 6, verse 17 says, God richly provides everything for our enjoyment. That's a great verse.
It's
so eye-opening to me. It opened my eyes when I first began to understand what this verse meant. Because I knew God wanted me to love people. I knew God wanted me to serve people. I knew God wanted me to help people. That's all part of what he wants for our lives. That's all true. God wants us to do all those things. But there is one more thing that God wants you to do that I think doesn't get talked about enough. God wants you to enjoy yourself. God richly provides everything for our enjoyment. That word enjoy literally means to be in joy. God's not our mean boss. He's not a heartless CEO. He's not the fun police. He's our Father in heaven. He does want us to be good, for sure. But like all parents, he also wants us to enjoy our life. And to that end, he richly blesses us with an abundance of gifts so that it might bring joy to our hearts. God wants you to enjoy yourself, not in a sinful way, not in a selfish way, because sin is the cause of suffering. Joy and sin are incompatible. He wants us to experience joy by receiving those many blessings he gives us and enjoying them in the right way. I made a short list to give you an idea of the wonderful gifts from God that bring joy into our lives, that can bring joy into your life. Now, it's not a complete list or an exhaustive list. It's just a start. These are earthly blessings that I'm focusing on right now, not the greater spiritual blessings that we have in Christ Jesus, which we'll talk about in a few minutes. But let me share with you nine gifts that God gives you to bring joy to your life. First of all, he gives you your family. One of the greatest sources of joy in our life is our family. This is a wonderful time of year when we get together with family, and secondly, with our friends as well. Family and friends are closest relationships. These are the people that increase and magnify our joy. Whatever brings us joy in our lives can be multiplied when it's shared with family and friends.
Music and art.
I put music separately because music is so many times in the Bible connected with joy. Even in Zephaniah, a verse we're going to be looking at in a few seconds here. But music is one of those things that always is connected with joy. It seems to be something elemental about us. And so great music brings us joy. And of course, all great art can do that. Reading a great book like The Chronicles of Narnia, or watching a great movie like Lord of the Rings or Ben-Hur, that brings great joy.
Travel is something
that many people find enjoyable. Why is that? Well, I think we're, as human beings, created for adventure. We're created to explore. We find joy in going different places. And that connects it also with learning, because we love to learn new things. People love to learn. They don't necessarily always like to be taught, but people love to learn. We're always learning new things. We always want to find out new ways, new things, new insights. And that's a joy to do so. Family and friends, music and art, travel and learning, nature. Nature is a great place where we find joy in the world that God has created for us. Again, it's been spoiled by sin, no doubt about that, but it's still there and it still connects us to our Creator in a very powerful way. A lot of people love spending time in nature or hiking or gardening or going kayaking. These are fun ways to be out in God's creation and brings us joy. Other people have different hobbies.
People like
working on cars, woodworking, cards, games, spending time with their friends.
And of course, helping others.
We're created to do good works in Christ Jesus. It gives us joy and fulfillment when we're fulfilling our purpose of helping others the same way the Lord helps us. Those are all sources of joy which our God has given to us to enjoy. God richly provides everything for our enjoyment. Now, I've left three blanks there that you can fill in on your own. You can do that now or later. All of us are going to have different things that appeal to our personality, different experiences that bring us joy. And that's part of the fun of it. No two people are the same. And I hope you talk a little bit in your own family or among your own friends about some of the things that bring you joy, and maybe some of the answers that you are going to write down. Share some of the blessings God has given you that bring an abundance of joy to your life. God gives us so many wonderful gifts. We should rejoice in the gifts God has given and give thanks to Him for them. But ultimately, the greatest source of joy in our life is not the gifts of God, but God Himself. And that's number four, rejoice in God's love. Specifically, the incredible, unconditional, eternal love that He has for you. No one can express how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. It is a love that surpasses all human understanding. But we can know it better through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the teaching of the Holy Scriptures. And the better we understand it, the more joy we will have. I think the Holy Spirit, working through the prophet Zephaniah, gives us an incredible picture of God's love in Zephaniah 3. I love Zephaniah 3:17, one of the most beautiful verses of the Old Testament. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Look at how much the Lord loves you. Zephaniah mentions four things there that the Lord does to show us his love. First of all, he saves you. He paid the ultimate price to deal with sin, pain, suffering, and death once and for all on the cross at Calvary. God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Second of all, he delights in you. That's powerful, isn't it? Just think about what that means. God delights in you, in who you truly are, in the unique and wonderful creation he made you to be. He doesn't just love you. He likes you. He likes your personality. He likes the way you do things. He likes all the things that make you, you. God delights in you. Third of all, he quiets you with his love. I think that verse just reminds me of a parent. When their baby or small child is stressed out, what do? They talk to their child, they comfort their child, they hug their child, and sometimes they sing to their child, right? A lullaby to relieve the stress and give them comfort. That's what God does for us. He comforts us and quiets us and gives us that peace that passes all understanding. And finally, fourth, and this is the most surprising one of all, he sings about you. There's only one place in the entire Bible where it says that God sings, and that is Zephaniah 3:17. He will rejoice over you with singing. I've talked about the connection between joy and singing in every sermon this month. It's undeniable. But this one is really astonishing. God sings over you. God rejoices over you with singing. It's so interesting to me how everything God asks us to do, he has already done first. We love because he first loved us. We forgive others because he first forgave us. We serve because he first served us. We give because he gave first to us. And we sing about God because God first sang about us. Because of his great love for us, he exults over us with singing. I invite you today to rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the wonderful gifts, all the good gifts that God has given to you. And rejoice, most of all, in his amazing, unconditional, eternal love for you. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.